the Kingdom Crossroads podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to episode number 121 of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. On today's episode, we will be joining Barbie Engel, the founder of the International Pain Foundation. Her story is just absolutely riveting and is full of value bombs from one end to the other that is going to bless you or someone you know that deals with chronic pain all the time. I know I do. I got a lot out of our interview, and I want to share it with you. If you missed episode 120, the part one of this interview, please go back and listen to it and catch up. But we're going to just jump right back into the middle of the interview, and I do not want you to miss one thing Barbie has to share with you, because it is just full of value from one end to the other. Now, we're going back into the interview with Barbie Engel. The looks you get sometimes, you know, sometimes you think, you know, they're thinking, oh, you're just being too, you know, childish perhaps, or, you know, you're just blowing, you know, the amount of pain you're having way out of proportion type thing. You know, not just family members, but your doctors,
and that's
other people you're talking to. And
yeah,
how do you suggest people respond if that's happening to them?
Two things. First is set the expectation. Exactly what you told, you know, I don't feel like having you spend money for me to go sit down while everybody else is running around doing, having fun and doing all these things. I'm physically not up to it. That's a really good way to set the expectation. But the way to maybe visualize it in their heads for them is what I call the energy penny principle. Now, in life, we think in terms of money, and you need money to buy your food and pay your mortgage and live your life and do these great activities. Well, in life, you also need energy pennies. Mm-hmm. And when you don't have a chronic illness, you don't have to worry about looking in your energy penny bank. You know you're going to have enough energy for the day and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So you don't even pay attention to your energy pennies. But once you develop a chronic illness, or especially chronic pain, it's mm-hmm. very draining. You only get 12 pennies a day. You're on a limited income of pennies. You only get 12 a day, and you have to decide how you're going to spend them. And just waking up, getting out of bed, going to the bathroom, brushing your teeth, that's a couple of pennies. Taking a shower can be 3 or 4 pennies. Mm-hmm. For me, taking a shower is very painful. Every drop of water is like 1,000 needles poking me at the same time. That's what it feels like. So it's not a fun experience. Like, a lot of people take a bath or take a shower to get relax clean, but it also helps them relax.
Yeah.
For me, it's a painful experience. So it's taking energy pennies from me. So if I decide, okay, I'm going to take a shower today, it's going to cost me 3 or 4 pennies to take a shower, get out, dry my hair, get clothes on. You know, if I have to put a special outfit on, like a dress or for a man, a suit, putting on the heavier clothes, the thicker clothes, that's going to cost you additional energy pennies. Now you've already spent 4 or 5 pennies, and you're not even eating breakfast yet. You got to make breakfast. You have doctor's appointments to go to. You might have one of your grandchildren that have a play at school that you wanted to try to see. How are you going to spend those energy pennies? And when people can relate that you only have 12 pennies a day, you have to decide how you're going to spend your pennies. And yeah, you might spend a few extra today, but that means that you're going to have to spend days in bed to recover just back to a starting point of 12 pennies on a day. You know, you might have 12 today, but tomorrow you might only have 6 because today you only had 12, but you spent 14. Mm-hmm. Well, 14 has interest, and now that's 16 pennies. So you have to really decide how you're going to spend your pennies. And when other people start seeing that energy is value, energy is pennies when you have a chronic disease, they start visualizing, oh, you know, grandpa can play with us for a few minutes, but then has to go rest. Mm-hmm. And like with my nephews, I have one niece and seven nephews and no children of my own. Mm-hmm. And I think that was God's plan because he knew I wouldn't physically be able to do it.
Yeah.
But I can spend a little time with them. With the older four, I didn't set the expectation at all. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand.
Yeah.
And I don't have a very close, I'm close to them, but I don't have a close relationship with them.
Yeah.
And with my younger four, we're very, very close, and they know the expectation, and they know that Aunt Barbie needs quiet darkness sometimes, and Aunt Barbie takes naps, and Aunt Barbie is cold a lot, so she needs extra blankets, and they know how to help me so that I can spend quality time with them, and we have a much better relationship for that.
It's funny you mentioned being cold all the time. You know, my kids can't understand why I have a quilt on my bed in the summertime.
You know, I have right now, I'm in Arizona. It's 92 degrees outside.
Oh, don't rub it.
My house is 82 degrees on the inside. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting here with a full sweatsuit on and like comfy sweatsuit and have a quilt on top of me while I'm talking to you.
Wow. That's
cool. And that's part of the neurological damage due to my injuries.
Yeah. I know when, for most guys, going to the mall is the dreaded experience anyway, right?
Right, right.
But, you know, Christmas shopping, you know, I was brought up in a close family, you know, we always enjoyed, this is back before they had malls, walking on, you know, the old, you know, Wonderful Life Street, Main Street type thing, you know, and drinking hot chocolate and all that. But, you know, I always enjoyed the sights and the sounds of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, since the injury, you know, I can't, how can I explain this? Going to the mall now is the most dreaded experience, but especially with the crowds and the lines at Christmas time. I tell my wife, I said, you know, I'll go, you go do your shopping, I'll sit here and I'll just drink coffee at Starbucks until you come back and get me. You
know? Exactly.
Because and I can't do it. You know?
I do the same thing. And what I've turned to now, if I want to get a gift for somebody or surprise my husband or Christmas gifts for family, I shop online because it takes less energy pennies.
Yep, I do that.
And I do dread going to the mall. Things that are crowded, you have to protect your body from being bumped and physically touched, so you're on guard.
Yeah.
When you're in crowded situations, which takes more energy pennies because it takes more chemicals in your body to be in that heightened fight flight situation.
Exactly.
So your energy pennies go faster. And then also I have trouble with loud and sudden noises. And when you're in an environment like a mall or a crowded soccer game or wherever, you don't know when those noises are going to come, but they, like for me, they can cut me straight to my core of pain increase, as well as being on guard, knowing that something can happen is taking energy pennies away from me because it increases the hormone levels in your body, that fight flight phenomenon that goes on. And so, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And as a woman, I used to love shopping, and it was
imagine.
So fun.
Yeah.
And
it
now
I really get down under your skin then.
Exactly. It totally does. And even in remission, it still takes a lot of energy pennies to be put in a situation that's very crowded or loud.
Yeah.
And then with lights, I can do okay with solid lights, but I also developed a seizure disorder and flashing lights can set off seizures for me. And so I used to love Christmas and love going, looking at all the lights and driving around the neighborhoods. And I'm like, take some pictures while you're out there and I'll see them when you get back.
Let me just watch it on television.
I'll watch it on television.
That's right.
And I have my solid color, you know, solid white light Christmas tree and, you know,
How do you, react to people who think that you're being a hypochondriac?
In the beginning, I cared. I was like, but I'm not crazy. I wouldn't give up my life. You don't know, like, why would I give up the things? I had the life that I wanted. I made the life that I wanted, and I worked hard for it, and I wouldn't have given that up. And again, that's why I went from doctor to doctor to doctor, because if a doctor said, oh, I think you should go see a psychiatrist, well, I'm already seeing one. Like, how many? I can't have a whole team just of psychiatrists. There has to be something more. I wouldn't have given up my physical life.
Yeah.
And I really cared, and I would let it affect me. After I had my near-death experience, I really let go of all that anxiety. And it doesn't, you know who matters? Jesus matters.
Amen.
God matters. And what I do to be the best human and fulfill my purpose here on earth matters. If someone else doesn't believe me, there's 7 billion people on earth. Go on to the next person.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now, when it's family, it's a little harder because you're supposed to love them and adore them. And God says, forgive. And we do forgive, but God didn't say forget. You know, we can try to teach, we can try to plant seeds. If you're doing things like, I had a friend that her friend didn't believe her that she needed to use a cane, and she was going to her daughter's graduation. And the friend said, you need to leave your cane in the car because this isn't all about you. This is about my daughter. It's her day. And my friend, although she knows that she needs to use a cane and she will be able to have more energy pennies with her cane and do more with her cane, left the cane in the car and went without it. And then it took her a good 45 minutes, 50 minutes to walk back after the ceremony to the car. And when she made it to the car, her friend said, see, you didn't need your cane.
Yeah.
And she got mad at her friend, and I said, but here's the issue. You needed your cane. It wasn't about taking the spotlight away from her daughter or the other people graduating that day. It was a tool so that you could manage better your time and your energy pennies so that you could enjoy celebrating her day.
Yep. Amen.
And the fact that you did it anyways because they put pressure on you to put your cane in the car or hide your disability showed them that you could do it. It might take you four times longer and cost you a couple of days in bed.
Yep.
Which they don't see because they drop you off at your house and go on their way, and they don't see what you went through just to overcome that challenge. It really is, what are you doing? How are you setting the expectation? Are they talking you out of using something that will assist you and make everybody's life around you better? Because you'll be happier, you'll have less pain, you'll be able to do more. Because they're embarrassed or ashamed, when really they just don't understand.
And that's the whole thing. They just don't understand. They don't want to. I mean,
but
I know back
when
in the beginning stages of my post-op procedures, there in the very beginning, my daughters were all understanding, and okay, well, Dad got hurt at work and he had these procedures and all that. But then when it never got better, and it just kept progressing, well, it did progress, it did continually get worse, but then it was like, if you're so bad, why don't they fix it?
There's not a magic pill.
Yeah.
True. I wish there was a magic pill. And
let's talk about the magic pills. Let's talk about managing painkillers.
Sure.
What is your recommendation on, you see all the things in the news about opiate epidemics and the overprescription of painkillers and things like that. I'm getting better now, but there for a few years, it was just a constant buzz that I did not want to be on because I didn't like the way it made me feel, and the after effects, I guess you could say. I mean, it's just a terrible existence. I don't even see how people can take those things and
For some people, it does give them a good quality of life, better than only having pain in their life and never getting out of bed. And for some people, the prescription opiates medication that they are given is the only thing that their insurance will pay for. But I've had patients say, I've tried everything and nothing works, nothing helps me. And I start going through the list. I mean, I could rattle off 100 things right now that, like acupuncture, acupressure, therapy, Calm Air. There's so many things that can be used, but people either don't know about them or they have one provider and they only know what that provider offers. And if that's not helping, or it's only minimizing the pain but not effectively helping the pain in a significant way, they don't realize that there's other treatments out there and there's things that you can do on your own, such as diet and stretching, mm-hmm. and massage therapy and mindfulness, that although those things won't cure you, they can help lower the pain levels and help give you some energy pennies back. And, you know, it's really important to let the people who need the pain medication have access to it. At the same time, we need access for all of the treatments that cost, whether it's a nerve block or an epidural or mm-hmm. a surgical procedure or infusion therapy, whatever it is, we need to be able to get access to it. And our system isn't set up in a functional way for the chronically ill patients.
Yeah. I mean, there for a while, they wanted me on 6 oxycodone every day, you know. Uh-huh. And I mean, from the time you woke up to the time you went to bed, it was just, you know, I mean, I started weaning myself off of that stuff because mm-hmm. I just I didn't like the way I felt, you know, and what it was doing to me. I mean, I was
right.
Days,
and it's not curing you. It's not taking away the pain. What it's doing is it's working in your brain to make you not care as much. But the pain is still there, and oftentimes the pain is actually worse when you have an opiate in your system because of these little nerve cells called glia in our spine and brain that regulate pain or help in the regulation of pain. And opiates are shown, that it's proven. If you look up Dr. Linda Watkins at the University of Colorado, they did a study under her direction there, and they showed on a microscopic level what happens when you introduce opioids to your glia. It looks like fireworks are going off. Mm. And that's the last thing you need. That's neuroinflammation that is being set off, and opiates do that. But opiates also work on other receptors in your brain that make you not care. So you could be feeling better, and if that's the only treatment you have, then no one should take that away from you. Mm-hmm. But if you can get access to other treatments and use a multimodality approach, even if you're on opioids, you still should be doing other treatments to help manage the neuroinflammation and the pain that you have. But it's just really important to use that multimodality approach to living so that you can have the best life you can make.
Amen. Well, tell us what type of work the International Pain Foundation does and how it can benefit our listeners who are suffering like what we've been talking about, you and I are doing.
Sure. We do education, which is providing comprehensive learning resources online and in print. It's disease-specific symptoms, treatments, support links. We do a webinar series every month for the last year and a half, and we're continuing on. We have a webinar that we bring in an expert that talks about an issue related to the chronic pain community. And so we do our educational webinars. We do in-person events for patients, caregivers, and providers. we bring together exhibitors and different resources and treatment options for patients to get ideas. It's just a lot of great information, and all of our educational materials are free. We do awareness events for the public, because if chronic pain affects 1 in 3 people, so it's you or somebody you know, but if it doesn't directly affect you and you're not feeling it, you don't always understand it. So we do projects that plant seeds in the communities and teach people about chronic pain, so that if they're ever in a situation where they need a resource, they have that seed planted and remember back, oh yeah, I was at that hockey game and saw that information table. Who would put an information table on pain at a hockey game? Well, we would, or baseball or football. And we go into pro sporting events and put out information, or we go into a mall and have a resource table, so that we plant these seeds in our communities around the United States and around the world. That there is hope, there is help. And, when that person needs it, or they hear their Aunt Susie complaining about pain all the time, they can understand her a little bit better. And hearing it from somebody else, a lot of times is very helpful. I say Jesus didn't preach in his own hometown. He went and traveled around and taught all of the people that he could come in contact with. It's the same thing. The chronic pain community could keep preaching to ourselves, but who is that going to really help or change or create something that can help society, unless we go out and plant these seeds and talk to our communities about it?
Amen. Now, you've also authored several books. I've seen them on your website. You want to tell us about some of your books?
Sure. I have done a children's book with my brother, who's an animator. He worked on Phineas and Ferb for Disney.
Oh, really?
That's one of his biggest projects. And he and I did a book together called Aunt Barbie's Invisible Endless Owie.
That's one
for. Yeah. Isn't that a good title? Mm-hmm. I have a degree in psychology, so we used words in the book that children as young as 3 years old could understand. Like, they understand hurt and they understand owie, but they don't understand the word pain at that age. So we tried to gear it so that any child from 3 and older can understand what you're teaching them and how to better interact with their loved one. I did one called RSD and Me, which is my story about the first 7 years trying to get diagnosed and trying to get the right treatments and how I never gave up. I did one called Remission Possible, about finding remission and realizing that remission didn't mean cure, because I thought remission meant a cure. And describing what remission is for me, and that it's still something to strive for and hope for, and how you can rebuild your life. And I've done a few other books, The Pain Code and The Pain Code Journal, and that's on navigating the health system. And my most recent book is called From Wheels to Heels, and that's my life story. But especially focused on the last 20 years of going through endometriosis and not, finding out I couldn't have children and fighting each step of the way and the struggles that I went through, but also the tips and tools on how I overcame each of those challenges that were presented to me. I also included a chapter on spirituality and how it brought me closer to God. A lot of my friends and people I've met through the years would say, oh, I hate God. Why did he do this to me? And no, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
You have to find your purpose, and you will do that if you get closer to Jesus and you understand what our purpose is here on earth. It will make you a better person and help you fulfill whatever your purpose is. Since I can remember, I told my parents I was going to be a cheerleader. And they would say, no, you aren't. You have to get a real job. You got to get a real degree. And I'd say, but my purpose is to be a cheerleader. And when I was injured and that was taken away physically, I was like, okay, what am I going to do? What is my purpose now? Yep. And I realized my purpose is to be a cheerleader of hope and possibility, and to motivate people and provide inspiration through the challenges that I've overcome, and show people that if I can do it, they can do it too. And so my purpose is still to be a cheerleader. It's just God had a different plan as to what he thought a cheerleader was. And so, you know, instead of performing, now I'm motivating and showing people that you can still be a productive, positive person in life, no matter what challenges you're facing.
Amen. Can you tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you and get some help from you and your organization?
Absolutely. For the International Pain Foundation, you can go to internationalpain.org and find information about our projects, about access to care, and about disease-specific conditions. And for me personally, you can find me at barbieingle.com. And Barbie is spelled B-A-R-B-Y. And Ingle is I-N-G-L-E.com. And you can get my books in either location. And all the money from the books goes to the International Pain Foundation to help with the purpose and the mission of the foundation to help people live better lives.
Amen. And the books are also available on Amazon?
The books are available on Amazon and in all bookstores around the world. All you have to do is if they don't have the actual book there, go up to the counter and they can get it in for you.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today. I know from personal experience, as we've been relating, that pain sometimes is more than we can bear alone.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we may feel all alone, but with your organization out there, I'm hoping that word can get out that you're not alone, that you do have people to talk to and to get information from, that together we can, you know, live the best life that we are capable of doing here on this earth with the help of Jesus, as you've so aptly said several times.
Thank you.
So I highly encourage our listeners that are suffering with pain or know of someone who may be suffering with chronic pain, reach out to the National Pain Foundation and Barbie Ingle and get the resources that you need to be able to continue, as she said, being a functioning contributor to society. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. So on behalf of Barbie Ingle and myself, I want to remind you to be blessed in all that you do.
Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.